Good afternoon. This is Nevin Campanella welcoming you to the BBS production of Woodland Star, your net radio source for entertainment and coincidental enlightenment. I'm not always so sure about the enlightenment. Our producer, Don Newsom, tries to enlighten me rather weakly, but I think I'm a little bit too dull to pick up on it. However, we are going to get some enlightenment today from our special guest, Linda Linderman. Now, she's going to tell us about identity theft and how to protect against it. She's a trained consultant in identity theft perception, speaks to many groups, business, and schools about the apparent dramatic rise in identity theft that is sort of sweeping our world and the devastating effects these crimes can have on individuals. I have not experienced it personally, but I have seen it, and it is devastating. Now, I gather from her own website that she herself is on some sort of mission to try to inform individuals of this growing threat. Before I introduce her to the show, I do have one announcement to make, and that is simply if you want to call our show, the toll-free number in the USA is 877-270-8714. Or you can call us direct at 530-413-4515. Also, there's a few other numbers to call. Go on my website, folks, at woodlandstar.net, and you'll see all the phone numbers that you need. And so now let's get our guests on board. Hi, Linda. How are you today?
I'm doing great. Yeah, thank you very much for having me on your show today.
Oh, you know what, Linda? This is such an important topic, and unfortunately, it's just not covered very much. As a matter of fact, I was absolutely surprised to come across an individual such as yourself who can tell us about some of these issues. I mean, identity theft seems to be at epidemic proportions. Now, the company you work for, Prepaid Legal Service Incorporated, it has a special program to protect against identity theft. Is that correct?
Yes, that is correct. Yes.
And if someone wanted to purchase the service, how would they get in touch with you?
Well, they can go on to my website. That might be the easiest. It's www.lindarl.com.
And what do they ask for? I mean, is there a contact place on that website?
Well, on the website, they can review a movie. They can learn a little bit more about the service. And they also can enroll into the program if they want to. And for about $1 a day, you can have peace of mind, you know, and that's about all of it it costs. And
well,
prepaid
a
legal.
$1 a day, that's pretty insignificant.
Yeah. We waste more than that every day.
Oh, you know what, Linda? I mean, people, the way people spend money on foolish items and snack food and so on and so forth, I mean, I'm amazed at what you just said. $1 a day is pretty cheap. Okay, before we begin the interview, I know you want to talk about identity theft,
mm-hmm.
but the audience also would like to know a little bit about you. For instance, how did you get into this business? And what is your training and so on and so forth?
Well, my training, I have been more or less self-taught. Prepaid Legal about 4 years ago. I'm an associate with them. They are partnering together with Kroll, and that's K-R-O-L-L. And Kroll America background has the identity theft. And they came to our company, and you know, 4 years ago, nobody really heard about identity theft. Didn't really think that it was a problem back then. But every year it keeps increasing to the point that now 1 out of 4 people will be a victim of identity theft. And, you know, it just really makes me mad that good citizens, we go to work and we save our money, and then somebody comes along and tries to wipe out our bank accounts or take loans in our name. and, you know, and they're getting by with it. Only 2% of the criminals are ever caught and convicted.
So, why? Well, I mean, why is it so low?
Well, because they might commit a crime here. It's an international crime. So they might commit a crime in California, maybe, and then they would, you know, they might get the information, or they might get it off of the Internet. And the police, you know, I know they're doing an excellent job, but they don't even consider some of these crimes, like these phishing scams, they don't even consider that to be a crime because you're voluntarily giving them the information. You know, so it is a low factor because it's not just an interstate type of problem, and the police can only take care of what's in their jurisdiction, and it's also international. So.
Well, I guess it's a low factor only unless you yourself at a personal level have gotten nailed.
One of my nephews named Ron. He had been a victim of identity theft. And a woman, believe it or not, in Los Angeles, she changed her driver's license number off one number, so she tampered with her driver's license. And when she tampered with that, because she'd write a lot of bad checks, and then all of a sudden she changed that one number, and then it became my nephew's number.
Oh, she did that randomly?
Yes, just randomly. You know?
Well, maybe before we go any further,
okay.
Let's see if we can get down to a definition of what do we really mean by identity theft. How would you define it for the audience?
Okay. Identity theft occurs when an imposter gains access to personal identifying information that they use for their own purpose.
And the gal that wound up with your nephew's driver's license number. Are you saying to me that I could go in someplace, change my driver's license number by one number,
mm-hmm.
and it would be someone else?
Yes.
It's that simple.
It's that simple. And in today's technology, it's easy, you know, for the crooks to change the numbers on the driver's license number. And she has a history of writing all of these bogus checks, and she bounces them. So now my nephew, when she goes on a spree to write bad checks, it goes against his credit and not her credit. It's hard for him to get a loan nowadays.
Is there any way for him to, I don't know, to go to the credit people or whoever those credit number people that make the credit numbers and tell them this is wrong?
Oh, right. Yeah, but it even when you think that you put a stop to it, then it resurfaces again after a few years. So, and that's kind of what identity theft, what they do. Either they wait a while until the heat's off, and then it comes back up. So, you know, there's about five different types of identity theft, you know.
When I was researching a little bit about identity theft after I had gotten in touch with you, I came across a government website that seems to cover a lot of the issues, and I did put it on my website. And matter of fact, it's linked through you, through your name for today, and people will be able to find it.
Well, good.
What I would like to be able to do is let's discuss a little bit the most common ways that people have for committing this identity theft or fraud. I don't know what to call it.
Mm-hmm.
What are some of the common ways that people do this?
Okay, they will take out a loan in your name or open up credit cards in your name and then have it sent to their address.
How do they get your name? I mean, just randomly go through a phone book, or what do they do?
Well, you know, all this information, I mean, the Internet is a wonderful tool, but there's also public records now that's on the Internet. So if you want to, you can pull up your name or somebody else's name on there and just, you know, through the Internet. And
yeah, you know, that is true. As a matter of fact, it wasn't but a couple of years ago that you could type in a cell phone number in Google and wind up with the person's entire phone calling account. In other words, you would know who they call and so on and so forth. And they've taken that off since. I was amazed at what you could do with that.
Yeah, they could put in your telephone number and figure out what your address is, too.
Yeah, it's pretty easy to track down, and if you can't do it yourself, you pay $29.95 and some organization will do it for you.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they take your name, and they fill out a credit card? Is that what they do?
Yeah, they can fill out a credit card application in your name and have it sent to their address. You know, that is one. Or they can take out a loan in your name. And I ask loan officers, you know, because I hear there's like 2% are people who have loans that are taken out in their name. And I asked the loan officer, you know, several of them, I says, how can that be? How could anybody possibly take out a loan and buy a house in my name without my permission? And they say, listen, all we have to have is the driver's license, a social security number, and a thumbprint. And they says, we don't do any background checks or anything. And so what these people will do is that they'll buy a house in someone's name, and then the minute the loan goes through, then they take out all of the equity, and then they skip town, you know.
Well, now, what happens though to the victim? I mean, does somebody come to them and say, okay, now you owe us all this money?
Yes.
Really?
Because after it defaults, then the institution will come to you and say, well, you haven't paid in 60 days. And you'll say, well, I didn't know anything about it, I didn't do it, and even though they're sympathetic sometimes, they would still want their money. And I'm kind of skipping around here a little bit, but there's some laws that are in place that you have, like there's called a FACTA law, and you have 60 days in which to tell an establishment that it is not you, and then on the 61st day, you are then the responsible party. Well, even if you don't even know that something is going on for 60 days. Now, credit cards are easy because a credit card, if somebody is using your credit card information, it's going to show up on your statement, and you're well within the 60 days, and you can call the institution and have that taken off. But in the case of somebody, taking out a loan in your name or buying a house in your name, you wouldn't know that, until, maybe after 60 days when you start getting the letters.
Somebody's checking back through and trying to find you to pay money.
Right.
I recently had a kind of a credit card experience, and I was a little bit surprised at the bank reaction.
Mm-hmm.
I've had this one particular number probably for, I don't know, maybe 3 years. Unfortunately, I'm one of those kinds of people that I love to buy things on the net. And quite frankly, it's easier for me to buy off the net than it is where I live, simply because where I live is so rural, it's hard to really get anything. So the mm-hmm. net makes it very easy, but I use that credit card number. Now, I've used it for 3 years. Now, very recently, we were getting to an expiration date on that credit card. And I have two accounts that draw on that credit card. You know, they're a monthly kind of thing.
Right.
And they kept saying to me, gee, your credit card is about to expire. Well, I just kind of ignored it because I knew that the bank would eventually send me a new credit card.
Mm-hmm.
Well, my wife and I both are on the same account. We both get a credit card with different numbers. She got her new one in the mail. And I thought, okay, I'll be able to take care of everything now because mine ought to be coming. And I'm waiting and waiting and waiting. Nothing happened. I didn't get, I was expecting this card to show up and didn't show up. So finally I go to the bank. And, I was concerned. Because I should have gotten it within a few days that she had received hers. But the bank's attitude was, oh, well, if you just wait a few more days, if you just wait a few more days. And, you know, it was kind of like they didn't see any particular problem with it. And there was this kind of like false sense of security because I'm talking to bank people, right, who should know what they're doing.
Right.
Well, I started getting nervous. And finally I said, well, look, you know, let's have a date on this where, you know, we're going to do something. So they said, okay, let's wait for 4 more days. I waited the appropriate amount of time. The car didn't come, and I went into the bank. And do you know that the bank manager was still reluctant to cancel that card? I mean, I really had to argue for it. And it kind of surprised me. I mean, obviously, he had to do what I requested. They cut the card up, they canceled it, and so on and so forth. But, you know, I'm a little bit disappointed in myself because what I did that last time in there, I really should have done the first time. When I was feeling at that point, I should have insisted, no, I don't want to wait, let's do it now. But anyway,
right. And
I do think people get a false sense of security from the bank people. Now, why the bank people would not want to just go ahead and cancel a card and issue another, I have no idea. I mean, it can't possibly be that much paperwork. But you know, one of the things I found out, they have no way of knowing, at least the ones that I was dealing with, they had no way of knowing when if the card was actually mailed. They could only tell you when the card was made. They cannot tell you when it was mailed.
Oh.
And that kind of blew me away. I do remember times in the past, and I'm talking about the long past, where there were some charges on a card that I had that I did not make. But the credit card company took care of it rather quickly. But there's a funny term I came across in trying to look at identity theft called. Maybe this is just something on one place called dumpster diving. What is that?
Well, dumpster diving is when people will go through your trash, and they also go through businesses' trash. And I've listened to several different FBI people speak on this and local police, and what they tell me is that they just don't dumpster dive one time, you know, into your trash and look for information. You know, that's why it's so important to shred all of your documents and for businesses to do the same. So they will, for like over a period of 6 weeks, they will, every time you put your trash out, they're going through it and they're looking for, you know, maybe something that a credit card offer that you were just throwing away instead of shredding.
Why would you want to shred a credit card offer since you're,
Well, if you're not going to, I mean, a lot of these credit card companies, they just send these things out. And, you know, you think, oh, well, I already have enough credit cards, I don't need another one. And so it's important to, you know, to shred it or to burn it. You know, if you're not going to take advantage of it and use it yourself, you do not want to just throw it in the trash because maybe somebody has targeted your neighborhood and they're going through all of the trash cans.
Oh, geez. Well, you know, you mentioned shredding, and it was only about 2 years ago that I finally broke down and thought, okay, I better get a shredder. And I had absolutely no idea what they were, what they would cost. Folks, I want to tell you out there, they're really cheap. You can go into Walmart and for $30 buy yourself a shredder. That's how cheap it is. And I mean, so what you're saying is if you want to do a little bit of prevention here in terms of dumpster diving, make sure you shred everything.
Yes. Yeah, so that they're not going to, because they're going to go through your trash for 6 weeks, or they're going to go through a business's trash for 6 weeks, and they piece these things together that they get. So maybe they get one thing 1 week about you, and then they get something else another week, and then they can piece that all together and get a real profile on you. So you don't want to put anything in the trash that has not been shredded or ripped up, you know, so that they can't put it back together. You know, I can't believe they say that people, you know, if you don't use a cross-cut shredder, use the straight one, they can take those pieces and they can put them back together like a puzzle. And, you know, I think...
That in itself is amazing.
Yeah, it is. It is. You know, if these crooks would just spend the time doing things right instead of doing things wrong.
Well, the amount of time they've got to spend in doing that, they actually wouldn't need to become involved in this kind of thing.
Right.
Well,
but there's businesses too that have they throw their documents away, their data. You know, they run the reports and things, so they have people's names and stuff, and then they just throw that out in the dumpster. You know, and then somebody would get hold of that information, and they have their whole vendor list or their whole client list, names, addresses, phone numbers. And
oh yeah, that's having been around businesses and so on and so forth, mm-hmm. and knowing a little bit about their ins and outs,
mm-hmm.
one of which is Walmart, it's pretty easy to get information. I mean, that stuff, while they go into a compactor of sorts, anybody who follows that compactor truck can
mm-hmm.
easily open that up, because
right.
a lot of the stuff doesn't get shredded. It really doesn't. It just gets dumped.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of amazing. Now, we're talking about this as if this is rampant out there. In other words, are there people, like, right now running through neighborhoods and kind of like, I don't know, droves of people going through garbage cans? How prevalent is this?
Well, it is prevalent. I would think more so in the business market, but they also go through individuals' homes. Like, if there is a community of people that they're targeting, and, you know, a lot of times, because people think, oh, well, they're only going to target the rich, but sometimes they target people who are elderly, who have been in their homes for a long time, because they're looking for information. And then sometimes they will take out all of the equity out of the house, and you don't even know that somebody has done that.
Wow.
So it's not always the rich that get targeted. I mean, they even target the dead.
The dead?
Yes. Yeah, they're...
Well, give me an example of that. How do these people target the dead?
Well, they use their name and their Social Security number. Maybe their driver's license number, and they assume their identity, and go through life that way, and maybe some of the terrorists too are using some dead people's names.
And there's absolutely no way. In other words, right now there would be absolutely no way for me to know if someone was doing this to me until I got a bill.
Right.
Wow. No cross-checking at all. One of the things I thought you were suggesting, and I'm not sure,
mm-hmm.
is that this may not be something being done only by individuals, but groups of people. Are there grand identity theft gangs running around where they, you know, people get together as a group of people try to do this as some sort of business practice?
Oh, yes. Yes, because if you go rob a bank today, you're going to get caught. You're going to be thrown in jail, and you're going to do time. So the crooks are now shifting to the identity theft, because such a low percentage is being caught, and even lesser than that is being convicted. And when they do time, they're only doing, like, less than 2 years.
What about the reward that they receive in terms of money? I don't even know how to say this. Is it as efficient money-wise getting money in as it is identity theft, as it is to rob a bank? In other words, a thief. Will he make as much money with identity theft as he would robbing a bank?
I think that they can even make more. There was this one person that I heard on an interview. He made $20,000 an hour doing identity theft.
Wow!
And and then you put that money on in an offshore bank someplace, and and even if you're caught, so you do the time. You don't. They can't even touch your money.
We have a caller on line 4.
Fine. Who do we have on line four?
Tony.
Tony. Is this?
How are you?
Is this Tony, as in B I L?
Yes, it is.
Oh, okay.
I have a question for Miss Linda.
Linda? Okay.
Yes.
What kind of question do you have, Tony?
Well, I was wondering, does it seem that these people seem to prey more on the elderly, like, you know, calling up and offering things and asking for Social Security numbers? Do they find that the elderly are the ones that are most at prey in this type of deal?
Well, actually, the number one targeted area is from 21 to 35 years old. And that surprised me. And then the second category are the people over 60 years old. So, and I think the younger people, because they do buy more things online, and sometimes maybe they're not being as cautious as maybe they could, and maybe somebody can get hold of their information, or maybe they don't have the proper spyware and type of things on their computer as they're paying their bills online, or they leave their account open or something like that. So so the young people are definitely the number one target. The number two target are the elderly people. I think it's because they're honest, they're established, and, you know, because there's all kinds of scams. You know, we've only really touched on them. There's, like, the phone solicitation, or where somebody calls and says, well, I'm Wells Fargo, and we're updating your account. Could you give us the information? You never,
exactly.
never give that information.
Well, the banks will never ask for the information they have, right?
Right. They'll never ask for
it. Well, I happen to know that our caller has a business.
Mm-hmm.
Tony, do you safeguard against what Linda's talking about, especially in the way of trash and so on and so forth?
Well, just up until recently, we would just tear things up and stuff like that. But I think in the past 6 or 7 months, it's been advertised. I think this problem has been brought to the forefront a lot more than it did in the past. And now we have a shredder, and I have a shredder at home. And like you said, Nevin, they only run $35, $40 at Walmart, and it's probably one of the best things I ever bought. And I shred just about everything now that has my name on it.
Oh, yeah, I'm absolutely amazed at what Linda's been telling us, especially about, you know, I mean, you would not know. And, you know, what was it that stimulated you into doing the shredding?
Just hearing, advertisements on television, you know, seeing reports, 60 Minutes did a report on it, and when you see that, and like the young lady said, if these people, the way they can get this information is just amazing, and if they put their thoughts and their powers to do this to good, it would be a lot better for the world, but I guess they're just greedy and they find it's an easy way to make money.
Mm-hmm.
That, Tony, without revealing your location, can you tell us in the audience if your area, your Chamber of Commerce and so on and so forth, have they issued any warnings, or is this prevalent in the area you're in? But please do not tell the audience where you live.
Yeah, the chamber, our local chamber, has even sent out brochures. So we belong to the chamber, and I go to the meetings. And they have made it a point to at meetings to bring this up front and tell people in our business, especially small businesses like myself, that this is a problem, and anything that could be used to gain information about your business, about your personal life, should be shredded and cross-shredded to safeguard your business and your personal life, too.
Well, Tony, I really thank you for the information and for the call.
It's an interesting show. Very interesting, and I think it's very helpful for the public.
Well, thank you so much, and you take care.
Bye-bye.
Linda, can you tell us some of the You started talking about other methods. Why don't you get into that a little bit?
Okay. Well,
some of the things that people do to do this, like the mail business.
Yes. Well, there is, you know, the driver's license number. There is the Social Security identity theft. Then there's medical identity theft. And then there's criminal identity theft.
Whoa. Let's go.
I'm just naming the different topics, and then I thought maybe we could go back and talk about each one.
Okay, go ahead. I'll just listen. You got me enchanted here. Go ahead. Go for it.
Yeah, and then the last one is financial, and that's the credit card is the financial one. And it's really a myth. And people think that that identity theft is just about a credit card, but it is so much more. You know, it's the driver's license, because people, if they're going to get a job, they're asked for their driver's license number. It's used as a source of identification all of the time.
I have to give my driver's license number every time. Sometimes if I'm in a strange town,
mm-hmm.
They'll want my driver's license number when I cash a check. I don't know what happens to all these numbers.
I know, and then there's worse, that they put it on the check. So, you know, then there's the people that everybody who sees your, they can see your name and your address, and they have your phone numbers on there too. I would suggest that people leave off of all of their checks, leave off their telephone number, don't put it on there, and don't put first and last name, because if somebody's forging a check, they know what name to use.
Wait a minute. Are you saying not to have your name printed on the check?
Well, not your first name. So, like my name is Linda Lindemann. So I wouldn't necessarily put Linda. My check has Linda Lindemann on it. I have my first two initials and my last name. So if that information fell in the wrong hands, they wouldn't know if I'm a man or a woman, because they just have the first two initials and my last name.
I never thought of that. The bank will do whatever I request in terms of what they print on there.
Mm-hmm.
And geez, what a great idea! Just have maybe the last name on there. And, you know.
Yeah, your first two initials. You have to have your first two initials, maybe,
uh-huh.
You know, on there, and your last name, and then your address, and tell them you don't want your telephone number on there. You know?
Yeah, and there are a lot of people who do have their phone number printed on their check. You know what? This is sad to say, but I have no idea, because I don't deal with the checks. My wife does,
mm-hmm.
and I have no idea
mm-hmm.
what's on there. While we're speaking, I'm going to ask her, do we have our names, our phone number on our checks? No. My wife says we don't.
Okay. Well, you know, a lot of people do. So, yeah. So the driver's license can be used. Like, say somebody has a DUI, so then they're going to use a stolen driver's license number, you know, because they have to go to work, and they, you know, maybe their credit card, their driver's license has been revoked or something, or they've been arrested, you know, too many times for a crime or something. So then those are the people who kind of want to steal our driver's license information. And, you know, you can get that information very easy and have phony ones made. I know here in California, someone told me down in Los, and I'm sure every city has a park, whereas if you can drive around the park and you give a signal, then you can buy other driver's license numbers, you know, and also social security numbers too, from these.
Is this part of the immigration, illegal immigration thing that we're battling all the time?
Well, that could be part of it. For a driver's license, you know, as I say, it could be somebody who is just has a DUI, you know, and they just don't want any of that on their record because they don't want to lose their job, and they don't want to use their own driver's license, so they're going to buy somebody else's driver's license, you know, information, and you can have those made up, you know. And it can happen to anybody of any age. And you wouldn't necessarily know if somebody else has used your driver's license and has several DUIs against you until maybe you're stopped by the police. And then they say, I'm going to have to take you in. And you say, well, what's wrong, officer? And they'll say, is this your name? And you say, yes. And they say, is this your address? Yes. Well, there's many warrants out for your arrest, so you've got to come with me, and you're going to jail.
Oh, my word. I mean, that's incredible. But, yeah, I can see how it would happen. And the police have no way of knowing until it goes through the system to straighten out.
Because they hear from all of the bad guys, it's not me, right?
Exactly. Oh, wow. Absolutely incredible. One time, I'm jumping back here to the credit card thing because it reminded me of something that occurred. This was about maybe 4 or 5 years back.
Mm-hmm.
I ordered some flowers from where I live, and I was sending them. I think it was to Florida. I'm not really sure, but anyway, it was this grand distance, and I called the flower shop and had the flowers sent. Of course, I did it with my credit card. I'll be damned if they did not send a confirmation in email to me with my credit card number on it. I couldn't believe it when I saw it. I was absolutely stunned.
Yeah.
Well, it does happen. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt your train of thought. It's just so fascinating. Go ahead.
Yeah, if people are going to send confirmations, they just need to maybe use the last set of numbers on the credit card number, not put the whole thing on there, because the computer is a source of, people are monitoring our computers, and one out of three computers will have a data information taken from them, So a lot of people don't have passwords, and we think that nobody else is looking at our emails that we give. But if you've got to think of the mentality of when you send an email, it's like sending not a letter through the mail, it's like sending a postcard, and it's out there for everybody to read. So, you don't necessarily want to put things in email, that you don't want somebody else to read.
and
your whole credit card information, you certainly don't want somebody to have that whole number.
Well, just for a second, I keep sidetracking you, I know, but the question comes up in my mind. Sometimes when I use a credit card online, they talk about the secure server. Could you talk about that for a second and tell us, what does that mean? Is it really secure?
Well, I know that the different, I don't really think that there are. I think that the different network companies and the AOLs and things, they've made a real good stab at stopping the viruses from coming through the computers, but I don't believe have stopped somebody from spying on what you have in your computer. And so if you have information in your computer, personal information in your computer, then you might want to buy some there's some software that you can get that has like an encryption in it. Also, you could just simply set up at your own computer with a password on it. I know there for a while I didn't really. This is one. I mean, I speak on this for 3 years. I was speaking on identity theft, and I didn't have a password on my computer. And then
why would you need a password on your computer? If I'm the only one using a computer, why would I need a password on it?
Well, that's exactly what I thought too. And then one time my computer was kind of froze up and I couldn't move the mouse and I couldn't seem to do anything. And I thought, what's wrong? My computer seems to be frozen. So then I turned off my computer and then rebooted it. And as I was turning it off, it said, there was this thing that came up on the screen that said there was there was somebody else on my computer, and if I shut my computer off, that I would throw them off of the system. And it just kind of gave me the creeps to think that somebody could look at that.
Well, you know, this was very recently. I use a wireless system,
mm-hmm.
and they call it Wi-Fi, I guess. And
right.
I was, I don't know, I must have been bored. I don't know what I was doing. I was fishing around with the Wi-Fi system, and all of a sudden I noticed on there some other connections, and it said shared, and I had no shared files. And I thought, well, what does that mean? So I clicked on it.
Mm-hmm.
And what I got, you're not going to believe this, I was actually getting my document section of another person. I don't know where they're at, but I was looking at their my document section.
Right.
On their computer.
Right.
I was absolutely stunned, and it scared the hell out of me. I quickly got off of there. I mean, I didn't want to see what that person had.
Yeah.
And
well, there are people that do want to see what somebody else has, though.
I was absolutely amazed.
Yes.
But you don't know. Well, how do I even know, for instance, you said, do you have the information on your computer? Since I use that number on those things that I purchase,
mm-hmm.
is it possible that that credit card number of mine actually exists somewhere in my own computer?
Well, if you've deleted the message...
Well, no, I don't delete anything once I put... You know, once I fill out their application and they say, where do you want it delivered, what's your credit card number, and then they send a confirmation in the email. As far as I'm concerned, that's the end of it.
Right.
What I'm wondering is, when I typed it in, when I typed my credit card number in, along with that special little three number deal on the back of the credit card,
mm-hmm.
does that go into my computer?
No, it's actually going onto their website, and let me tell you this. Down at the bottom on the right-hand side, if you do not see a little gold padlock down there, you do not want to put in any of your personal information, because maybe it's just a look-alike website and not the actual website.
What are you talking about, a look-alike website?
Well, these companies, I mean, you can scan something. So say for Bank of America, you scan in, somebody will scan in their logo, you know, and then they create a phony website. So, and they're very clever. So you're trying to get to Bank of America, and somehow you've been intercepted through this phony website. You've come across that. And to you, it looks like it's really Bank of America because that's their logo, and you know, I'm just using them as an example.
Uh-huh.
And you know, but at the bottom of the page, usually on the right hand side, will be a little padlock, a little gold padlock. If you
have seen that.
Okay, if you do not see that little gold padlock, you do not want to put your personal information, because you know, get out of wherever you're at. You know, because then chances are that's maybe a look-alike website rather than an actual website. You know, same way with the PayPal. You know, and there's, you know, there's the phishing scams for that. You know, I know that, you know, they'll say please update your PayPal account information, and it's not really PayPal, but it looks like PayPal. You know.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, it was just recently I received some warnings from PayPal.
Mm-hmm.
About that very thing.
Mm-hmm.
And you know what, Linda? After a while, though, it kind of makes you a little bit crazy. You don't know. You know, it's like, my God, you don't know what to protect, or should you just get off the net entirely? I mean, it is nerve wracking.
Right, right. Well, I think that you can go down to, you know, you can have, there's encrypted things that you can do, and for that, I'm not an expert on, but you can talk to your local computer store and ask them about how you can protect your computer a little bit better. I know there's different spyware programs and things that you can do, but you can simply go into your settings as a first of all precaution, and put a password in for yourself. So every time you go onto your computer, you have to put in the password. So you
and does that mean that if somebody from the outside was trying to get in, they would have to have that password to get in also? Or
yes, they would have to have that password to get into your computer. You know, like you saw somebody else's My Documents,
mm-hmm.
you know, and you could have viewed all of their files that they
had.
Oh,
yeah. All I had to do was click on it.
Yeah.
I was totally blown away when I saw it.
Yeah, well, these wireless ones, what they're doing is that they're really piggybacking off of, people don't even know it, that they're picking back off of somebody's other computer system is what they're doing. And places like Starbucks, they have, you know, where people who have wireless computers, you know, they have these sources. They want you there because they want you to buy their coffee. And, you know, so they have those type of things. I guess they're kind of like a hot outlet. But still, if somebody's driving down the street and going by, say, your house, and you're not on your laptop, but you're on your regular computer that's plugged into the wall, they can piggyback, you know, when they're within so many feet, they can piggyback off of any computer that's up and running.
Yeah, as a matter of fact, there is now in the state legislature, in the state that I'm in, they're trying to pass a law. I don't know if it'll ever get through, but the law that they're trying to pass is that all wireless must have a password.
Mm-hmm.
Because what the state legislature was concerned about, this has got nothing to do with identity theft. This has got to do with teenagers and children who get on the net and become targets for predators and so on and so forth. And a lot of these kids, they all get into a car, drive around, and with a laptop, picking up other people's onto other people's wireless, and then they can do what they want on the laptop, and mom and dad aren't around because they're driving around with other teenagers. Well,
right.
the state legislature is trying to pass a law that requires all wireless to be password protected, but frankly, I don't think they'll ever get it through.
Mm-hmm.
We're getting up near the end of my 55-minute allotment.
I've got so much more to tell you, too.
Yeah, I know. go ahead and continue on.
Okay. There are some scams as far as, you know, the shoulder surfing. So if you're at...
What did you say? Did you call it shoulder surfing?
Shoulder surfing. So say you're at a bank in the ATM machine and you're punching in your numbers in order to get money out. Well, someone can be looking over your shoulder, and they know the keyboard, so wherever you're pressing, they can figure out what numbers you have pressed in there. You know, it can be in a grocery store or something, and they can watch you putting your password in. That way they get your password. And then they can take a picture. You know, we have all these cell phones that can take pictures now.
Oh, yeah. I can do it the one I've got.
Yeah, so if they can watch you take a picture of you with your credit card, handing it to the clerk, they can take a picture of that, and then they can blow it up and get your number. And then as you punch in your security number, you know, then they can get that because they've looked at that, you know. So there's shoulder surfing. There is, you know, the phishing. There is, you know... You know, as we said, the laptops. There's all different things here that way that people can scam you. You know, plus,
one of the things you brought up before, you talked about medical identity theft.
Yes.
Could you, in the time remaining, could you cover that?
Okay. In medical, say someone is admitted to the hospital and they can give your medical information, and then if they can have actually in last month in August there was a very very good article in Good Housekeeping where it talked about a woman who had lost her wallet and somebody else got her wallet and she kind of looked like her, and she was going to have a baby. So she went into the hospital when it was time to have the baby, the imposter did, and she gave the woman's driver's license and name, and she evidently mispronounced the lady's name, but they thought, well, she's pregnant, she's in labor, she's just delirious. So this particular woman then was admitted and had a baby, and she used this other woman's medical information in order, so she used her medical benefit. And what was bad about it is that she walked out of the hospital before she was released, and she had drugs in her system, and they, of course, they're taking the blood tests of the baby, and so then they call this woman at home who's had the wallet stolen and said, you just had a baby. And she says, I didn't have a baby. She says, I have four. And they says, no, you were just released from such, you weren't released from such and such a hospital, and you abandoned your baby in the hospital, and your baby had drugs in the system. So therefore, we have already notified in having your kids that are at your home.
Oh, my God.
We're having them taken to a foster care. And, and the woman kept saying, it wasn't me, but they act very, very quickly. So medical is more and more expensive all the time. And so different people are using other people's medical benefits. And what's really scary about that is, like in this instance, she finally got it taken care of, but it didn't get taken care of that day, and she had to have an attorney to help her out. And as I say, this article was in the Good Housekeeping.
How sophisticated are our hospital personnel in terms of this identity theft?
Well, they have the HIPAA law, and you can't really talk about anybody's file. So the worst thing that you can tell a hospital is, that's not my file, and then therefore you're kind of locked out of your own medical information. So they're being trained, and they're being trained on security. But see, this woman who was an imposter looked very much like the lady and gave her information because she had her wallet. So she had her medical information, she had her driver's license, and even though she mispronounced the name, it didn't seem to matter. She had the baby anyway, and this other person's medical insurance was billed. And not only that, her children were taken out of the home.
What an incredible story.
In foster care,
You mentioned, I don't know whether it was on your website or one of our exchanges and emails, you mentioned one time where someone actually had plastic surgery done so that they could look like this other person?
Yes. There was, I don't know if your viewers have seen this before, it was a Michelle Brown story, and it's aired on the television, 2 years ago, and then I think I saw it 6 months ago for the second or third time.
What was the name of it?
It was called the Michelle Brown story.
Michelle Brown, okay.
Yes. And this woman who was impostering her, it was a drug dealer, and so she even had plastic surgery to make herself more look like Michelle Brown. And she walked into Michelle Brown's bank and drained out all of her money out of her savings. Michelle Brown sitting at home thinking everything's fine, writing the checks out for the house payment and all of the other bills. All of her checks are bouncing and can't figure out why, and this other person had drained all of her information. Then she goes to the airport, and she's going to fly someplace. Well, she was arrested because there's a warrant out for her arrest because this particular person had used her name and had been arrested. And so now she has a drug record too, for drug trafficking, she helped change some of the legislation that is in place right now, because she was someone that was a victim, and so she worked with the authorities to put together some legislation, and that was probably about 5 or 6 years ago that story really happened, but they have aired it on television. So that's one example. But any time your wallet is stolen, you're opening yourself up to the creativity of that particular crook, and to whatever they want to do. You know, like this one lady wanted the medical information. So not only that, they could change the blood type, your blood type. So say you go to the hospital and you're someone else who had impostered you, change the blood type from, let's say, O to maybe A. You know, then you're admitted and you need blood, and they start giving you blood, they could kill you. You know, all because of somebody didn't want to pay a medical premium and they would rather use yours.
of all the things that you have informed us about seems to be eventually leading towards some sort of physical identification, you know, the chip in the body kind of thing, which is probably a whole nother story.
Yeah, I hope it never comes to that, but...
Oh, me too. But you know what? You're scaring the hell out of me, Linda. I keep thinking of all these things I've got out there. Linda, we are seriously out of time, and I'm running over here. You know, it has been absolutely fascinating. You've done your job, because I'll tell you, I intend to scrutinize my computer and a few other things I've got going on.
Mm-hmm.
I want to thank you so much for coming on the show today. And, you know, you have done us a great service. I wish you well, and I want you to have a great day.
Oh, thank you so much. I appreciate it. I've enjoyed it. And, you know, maybe we can... you can have me on another time. And
oh, absolutely, Linda. You've got a lot to say. Thank you so much. And audience, that's it.